This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
It is a big day for interest rates in America. And later in the program, the death of the tiny shampoo bottle in hotels. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. A private sector count of payrolls out this morning finds 156,000 jobs were created this month. That is more jobs than a relatively weak June, but hiring, as recorded by the payroll company ADP here, was weak at manufacturing companies. The government's big payroll and unemployment reports are due out on Friday. The major economic story of today comes later. Let's consult Quincy Crosby, chief market strategist at Prudential Financial. Hi there.
Good morning.
Quincy, what are you doing in just over 4 hours' time?
I'm going to be doing what everyone else in our industry is going to be doing. We're going to be closely monitoring the statement that comes from the Federal Reserve meeting today.
Let's stipulate that we're going to get an interest rate cut of 0.25%. What are some of the key phrases you'll be looking for when the chairman of the Fed, Jerome Powell, comes out to brief us?
Well, we're going to be looking at the rationale for this because remember, there are many, even at the Fed, who say, hey, that we're seeing economic data beginning to pick up. We don't need this rate cut. And in fact, we shouldn't have it because we should save it for when the economy really, really needs the medicine. Today, we just had the ADP report, and what we see is manufacturing added a very, very small amount of workers. So that's what we're going to be listening for. Is he afraid that the cumulative effect of all of these things could start hurting U.S. employment? And also, very important, is he going to signal to the market that more rate cuts will be coming if need be?
Quincy Crosby is the chief market strategist at Prudential Financial. Thank you for the briefing.
Thank you very much.
Apple yesterday released quarterly results that confirmed a wider trend. Smartphone sales are having a down year. The running question for Apple is, can it thrive on other products and services? Short answer, in the last quarter at least, is yes. We asked Marketplace tech host Molly Wood to break it down.
You do have to be at least a little bit impressed that even as iPhone sales were down something like 12% and Apple's services revenue declined, the company still turned in a record quarter. People are buying what Apple is selling. So what are they buying? Accessories like the Apple Watch, AirPods, and headphones. Even though this was a record quarter for Apple by revenue, its actual profits dropped 13% year over year. Long term, if those margins are shrinking, it's still not all good news. Because as we seem to be discovering, there are only so many shiny objects you can get people to buy. Long-term, Apple will still need new moneymakers. Maybe its credit card, which it says is launching in August, or its TV subscription service to keep those big numbers coming. And it'll have to deal with the fact that the iPhone is still fully 48% of the company's revenue. It's weird to say that one of the most valuable companies in the world is on the hunt for its next big hit, but weird can also be true.
Marketplace tech host Molly Wood, Apple stock is up 5.2% at last check. Fizzling sales for smartphones has hit Samsung hard. Today came word its quarterly profit fell 53% last quarter. Samsung also makes a lot of components that go inside smartphones, and that got hit as well. Samsung is also contending with rising trade barriers between Japan and Samsung's home country, South Korea, connected to Japan's use of South Korean slave labor during the 20th century. The UN predicts there will be nearly 10 billion people on the planet by mid-century. At a time the Earth is heating up, this implies the need to produce more food in new ways, even indoors. Last year, venture capitalists put $17 billion into about 1,400 companies that are trying to grow food indoors. Carol Zimmer reports on an example.
We're standing in a parking lot in the Bed-Stuy neighborhood of Brooklyn, peering through a plate glass window of a shipping container at rows of herbs that are growing in water, lit by bright purple LED lights.
So this is our basil.
Sarah Ann Horton is the farm manager at Urban Farm Square Roots.
We grow them in what we call towers. Each shipping container is a plot of land, and then each tower is like a row of crops.
There are 10 shipping containers at Square Roots where urban farmers also grow mint and chives in an environment controlled for light, air, and water. Messengers deliver the herbs to about 75 local retailers within a day of being harvested. At the Park Slope Food Co-op, produce buyer Cecilia Rembert purchases herbs from Square Roots. She says its prices are competitive with organic growers. Just under 1 ounce of chives costs about $2. Rembert also buys lettuce from indoor farms like Gotham Greens.
They tend to last a long time, and they don't have to be handled as much as soil-grown greens do, and they don't have to travel as far.
Square Roots plans to open its second farm in Grand Rapids, Michigan, in the fall. It has raised $5 million in venture capital. But it's expensive to farm this way. The process is labor-intensive, and energy costs are high. Neil Mattson is associate professor of horticulture at Cornell University.
What it would really take to make this sector revolutionary is for us to have non-carbon-based energy, free energy, because they do require a tremendous amount of energy to light and control the growing environment for the plants.
Mattson is part of a team of researchers at Cornell who have a three-year, $2.4 million grant to study vertical farming versus field agriculture. But he says greenhouses that harness sunlight are more cost-effective and carbon-friendly than vertical farms that use artificial light. In New York, I'm Carol Zimmer for Marketplace.
And think it's icky to reuse a bigger shampoo container in a hotel or motel room? Well, get over it. Intercontinental Hotel Group, which is Holiday Inn, Kimpton, Indigo, Candlewood, says it's getting rid of the mini shampoo bottles in nearly 850,000 hotel rooms. It's to keep all that plastic out of landfills and especially out of oceans. Intercontinental goes through 200 million of these little plastic bottles in a year. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.